You've got questions? Andrew Mason has the answers. This is Mason's Mailbag, presented by Prime Sport.
Week 4 edition of the Mailbag, prior to the Broncos' big game against the Raiders. I'm Andrew Mason. Thanks for joining me here on the practice field at UC Health Training Center. And let's get started with a question about the offense from Jim Ayers. How much does it help Trevor Siemian have an effective running game? Well, it's a tremendous boost. If you look over the course of Trevor Siemian's career, you know, his rating is about 12 points higher when he's got C.J. Anderson in the backfield than when he doesn't, at least in the games that C.J. Anderson plays. And the Broncos have a much more effective running game with C.J. Anderson the last 2 years than when he's not in the lineup. We saw late last season how the running game struggled without C.J. Anderson there. So when you've got a running game, especially for a young quarterback, it opens up so many more things. I mentioned this on DenverBroncos.com and Orange and Blue 760 last week. The young quarterbacks that have done better over the last, going back to the year 2000, the young quarterbacks that have done better, that have better quarterback ratings, have been the ones that have had complementary running games. You can go through, you know, to Dak Prescott last year, to Ben Roethlisberger back in the mid-2000s. He had, you know, Jerome Bettis, Deuce Staley, and Willie Parker to hand the ball off to. That was a big part of his early success. So for any young quarterback, and Trevor Siemian, remember, is a young quarterback. He only has 17 career starts. He's still young, still developing. That running game is going to be a key part of helping him along. It takes the pressure off. And another stat I'll throw in there for you, the Broncos have won 21 consecutive games when they have rushed for 125 or more yards, including weeks 1 and 2 against the Chargers and Cowboys. A running game can be the offense's best friend, Trevor Siemian's best friend. Certainly the Broncos want to get it going on Sunday in a big way. Next question, talking about the late Red Miller, who passed away this week. This one's from Tim Knight. Did you have the chance to talk to Red Miller? If so, what are your memories of him? I was lucky enough to talk to Red Miller a few times over my years covering the Broncos. And boy, what a privilege it was to meet and listen to stories from Red Miller over the years. I remember one conversation I had with him in 2007 talking about not only the 1977 team, but his overall memories in coaching, his time as a Broncos assistant, his time as a Patriots assistant. Of course, he coached their offensive line before he came back to Denver as the head coach. You know, he had a great way of telling stories. When he really wanted to tell you a story, I remember when he would lean in and he'd kind of tell me, "Hey, come closer. I really want to make this point to you." And he had a way of connecting with people. And when I listened to him and when I talked to him in those moments, it was easy to see how players could respond to him so well and why so many of those guys really just wanted to run through a brick wall for that man, because he had such a powerful way of connecting with those guys. And another story I really want to tell about Red Miller is just from a couple of years ago, before the 2015 playoff game with the Colts. The Broncos brought back as many of the 1977 players as they could for kind of a quick little reunion, and then they honored a bunch of the guys at halftime of that playoff game against the Colts. And Red Miller and the players, they were on the field at halftime. But the night before the game, they brought them all together at a local hotel, and I was lucky enough to be in the room for that and talk to some of the players and see Red Miller in that room. And the thing I remember is that even though you were 37, 38 years removed or so from when Red Miller was their coach, when he spoke, it was like you were back in 1977, 78, 79, 80 when he was their coach. And, you know, everyone sat up straight in the room and listened. And the way he still commanded that room, it was like he was still their coach, even though all these guys had long since retired from playing, and even though Red had long since retired from coaching, he still owned that room, and those guys still listened to him and still kind of followed his advice and still looked to him as a mentor. He had such a powerful influence on every player he came across. You know, just an incredibly special person, an incredibly meaningful person in Broncos history. There's great reasons why he's going into the Ring of Fame this year. He's one of the most important people in Broncos history, one of the most significant contributors to Broncos history. I mean, really, you can look at Denver history and say, before Red Miller and after Red Miller, no playoffs before Red came on the scene. In 1977, he brings a talented team together, gets them over the hump. So many of the franchises first happened on Red Miller's watch. Just, tremendous contributor to the organization, and he's going to be missed, but his presence around here is going to be felt as long as there's the Denver Broncos. And I'm really privileged and fortunate to have had the chance to spend at least a few minutes and a few moments with Red Miller over the years. Thanks for the questions, and if you want to join us next week for the bi-week mailbag, go to denverbroncos.com/masonsmailbag. Find me on Twitter at @MaceDenver. Listen to me Monday through Friday on Orange and Blue 760, 10 to 12 every day. I'm on 1st and 10 at 10 with Ryan Edwards and Ring of Famer Steve Atwater. We talk Broncos every day. We talk Broncos history from time to time. It's a great show. Tune in. Hope you'll join us there. Until next week, take care and thanks for watching.